Blog Talk Radio. other fellas, little Sonny.
They're drinking that wine, remember the schoolyard days.
Yeah.
We had to take you home, man. You was out of
home, man. Better, better day. Lord have mercy.
Hey, but listen.
Yeah.
Remember when we used to run around there? Steal a hubcap off the car.
What you talking about? Battery?
We lucky we didn't get busted, man.
Listen. Then I say, here comes the fun.
Hey, Bird, what color was you coming today?
That's in the line.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
But dig this here.
Yeah.
Now, see, when all that gang war was going on, I'll tell you one thing I never forget.
And what's that?
See, when I got home, first thing I would hear is,
what?
Bill!
Yeah.
Where you been, boy?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's
I say, I was out with Sonny Bird and Lil Sonny.
Put it all up.
Yeah.
I had to put it on somebody.
Hey, Phil, what's your mama say?
She say, boy, now I'm going to tell you.
What?
You know you getting big now.
Yeah.
You got to watch the things that you doing out in that street.
That's right.
And then go to jail.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you something, man. Mama wasn't wrong.
No.
But what about Pop? Oh, we ain't talking about Pop.
No, man. Pop, well, he was all right.
Pop, Pop, was, a lot of bad Pop was hanging out, you
yeah,
know.
Hanging out. I think Pop was drinking more wine than we used to.
I know my Pop did.
Yeah.
My Pop hung right over with you, boy.
Yeah. Stay out all night. Come on. Clothes all wrinkled up. Lip balls all on them.
Hey, Sonny. I know where your mom cooked them good home-cooked bits today.
The green?
Oh, man.
Boy, your mama sure cooked them.
Yo, turn my music up. Up some more. Up some more. Up a little bit more. Mama always told me to be careful who I love, and daddy always told me make sure he's right. I always had my eyes on this one particular guy. I was too shy, so I decided to write.
I'm gonna get a
better keep a watch, cause the mailman's gonna come. Yes, he is. Oh, I'ma write you a love letter tonight. Better keep a watch, cause the mailman's gonna come.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Brothers and sisters of this celestial energy, is Brother Wisdom. You know, I did that last video because I know who we are in this land. There is some people who would rather want to deal with demographic areas according to the studies that they have been given in certain school settings, or if they did their own independent studies. Now, one thing we must remember here, this is the whole thing, this is the whole point of our people being taught on this level of, we are not from this land. There is a reason why we were taught this. All right? There is a reason why we were taught this. We were taught this by these orc beings so that we would not be able to claim what is rightfully ours. You being in this land, indigenous to this land, your family members who go back millions and millions and millions of years, and you claiming another land, is like a slap in the face of your ancestors. And yes, all of us on the planet, all of us people of melanin on the planet, we're nature. We were created by nature. There was no certain place we started. The very place that we started, that all of us came from, all of us people of melanin, we all came from the cosmos. We all came from different planets. That's where we came from. We were centered. We came from the center of the cosmos. There is no demographic area. But we here on this land here, like I said, where we've been here for millions of years, it's been stolen from us, this the very knowledge that we belong to this land. And I'll say it again, I'll be redundant on it, on this matter. Simply because these orc beings don't want us to identify ourselves as indigenous to this land so that we would not go straight out battle and fight. So we have our brothers and sisters who will want to stand up and say, well, you know, we're from this here, we're from this place and we're from that place. And because of my studies or because of my college studies, understand, anytime you read the books of these orc beings prescribed, okay, anytime you read the books that they prescribed, this is what you call controlled knowledge. Well, they literally would want to control the level of knowledge that you get so that you would not know who you are. This is the lie. So basically, when one of our people come with the truth, there's another one of our people who's going to come with a lie. And they're going to argue the lie, and they're going to fight the lie, and they're going to battle the lie, thinking that's the truth. Because this is what my studies said. This is what I learned in school. This is what I studied as I read these books. But how many of us have gone within? You really don't want to know who you are. Just sit out in the sunshine and say, and say within yourself, or say out loud, I need the wind to show me who I am. And you're out in the middle of this hot wind, hot heat, and a cool breeze just hits you, and the wind will tell you who you are. So many of our people have read books and studied, and no one has gone to nature. I'm not going to argue with anybody. The last video I did, you know, I had one sister who wanted to argue with me and tell me this and tell me that, and I'm like, you know, I'm not even trying to argue with you. I'm not even trying to go this way. But the whole thing about it is, how many of us have gone to nature? Do you know how to tap into nature? Do you know how to go to the very source that created you from the beginning? And ask all the questions, because I went to nature and nature told me who I am. Nature told me who everybody else is. The problem is that, do you know who you are? It's not about a demographic area. It's all about you knowing who you are. Nature. Now, yes, our people, we travel the planet. We travel the planet. They showed you in the movie Moana that we were travelers of the planet. We traveled the planet. And we went from here to there and there to here and here to there and there to here. And we mingled among each other. All of us people are melanin. We mingled among each other. We didn't fight and war against each other. We mingled among each other. So that would go to show that we are from everywhere. That would go to show that we are from every part of the planet. We have great-grandmothers and great-great-grandmothers and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents and great-great-great-grandparents and great-great-great-great-grandparents and great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents and great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. But the problem is none of us know where they came from. None of us know what land they came from. None of us know where they lived. Do you know where they lived? Do you have any archaeological studies to show directly where they lived? No, you don't. So you can't say that we're from here or we're from there. All I know is that my ancestors are on this land, and my grandmother and great-grandmother have told me about my ancestors on this land. And if I would have had a chance to meet my great-great-grandmother, which I will probably go and tap into her spirit through meditation, she would tell me more. Then this is the problem. So many of our people don't go into meditation. We don't tap into nature. We don't tap into the very source, the spirit, to find the truth. But yet we read a book, or we go through this Ork Beings College study, and we think we got it all because we got degrees and papers that they said that okay, you've passed this and you've done that and you've done that. But one thing you haven't done is gone and tapped into nature, tapped into the spirit realm. You haven't gone and gone deep within yourself to find the truth of the whole matter. That's where we haven't gone. It's not about a demographic area. It's about finding your culture. When I did those beats, we as the indigenous Atlanteans of this land right here, and this is Atlantis, and it's been proven these Ork Beings even have told us this land is Atlantis, and that we are the original people on this land. Okay? So when I did those beats, this is the type of beats that we had. Not only that, we had the flutes, we had cymbals, we had different types of horns. We had the guitars. We played the guitars. We had all types of instruments. How many of our people are linking to that? Yet, we're ready to argue about a demographic area, but don't hear the whole totality of the message. Now, one thing I do look at, I look at the fact that the brothers and sisters of melanin in the land called Africa, which is Sumeria, or Ethiopia, it was once Sumeria, then they named it to Ethiopia, okay? That's before Scipio Africanus came and did his damage. But one thing I can tell you is those brothers and sisters over there, they have completely different body structures than we do. The Twa, who are the Irs in Ireland, they were pygmies, and they had a totally different body structure than everyone else. Those are in Australia, they call the Aboriginals. They have a complete different body structure than we do, than those in Sumeria, than the Twas. Those down in Brazil, what they call Brazil, in that area, they have a complete, totally different body structure. Take a look at the body structures. Look at the body structures. Look at the structure of the head. Now, do we have that same body structure that they have? No, we don't. We don't have that body structure. We don't have that type of head. We don't have that type of bone structure that they have. So these are the things that you got to look at. Because if the fact that we did come from that land, then we would still be looking or have that exact body structure. Look at some facts. So the whole part about it is the fact that we come from nature and we need to go within ourselves to find the truth so that we can find out who we are and stop reading these books. Get away from the books and go within yourself. This is the only way you're going to find the truth, is if you go within yourself. You cannot learn anything properly by going to a book, and then because you read it and studied and got a degree from these works, you actually think you know it? No, you don't, because you haven't gone within yourself. And there are so many of our people who will refuse to go within themselves because they think that they have it made, and you've been taught by the very enemy who wants to tell you that you're from here. Why? Because he doesn't want you to claim the land as your own. And if you're not claiming the land as your own, then he can continue to do what he wants to do. But when we as a whole, on this land, they call it America, which is really Atlantis, but we as a whole, begin to claim our land, claim our heritage as Atlanteans. Not Africans, because African is not a word. Our ancestors knew nothing about Africa. Our ancestors knew Ethiopia. Our ancestors knew Sumeria. Our ancestors knew Kemet. This is what they knew. So, if you're not claiming this land and you want to claim something else, then basically you have literally alienated yourself from the very land that you live on. And you saying, there's no reason for me to fight for this right here. But you don't even know how to fight for the land over there called Africa. You don't even know how to fight for that land. How do you fight for it? How do you stand up for something that's so that you have no idea how to live? You know nothing about the fruits and the foods they eat. You're not eating that type of food there that they eat there. You're eating the type of food that our ancestors ate here. So you gotta understand that you know, each land, they have totally different vegetation than what we have over here. The way that they dress and the way our ancestors dress is totally different. We wear the feathers and all the way down our back. They wear a totally different type of clothing. So we have to literally go within ourselves. We can't continue to argue with each other over stuff that really doesn't matter, because the main fact is, once you tap into nature, once you go into nature, once you find out through nature who you really are and who your people are, then you will know. Then you will know. Maybe you know, you really get some true people from that land called Africa to come and say, okay, this is what we eat, because each land eats different. Each land, each so-called country, they all have different types of food, different types of clothing, apparel. They all have different types. So, you know, you can't say, oh, I'm from this and from that. And then you don't want to go to genealogy.com. Why? Because genealogy.com was set up by these orc beings. And they're not going to tell you your true genealogy. They're not going to tell you that you are indigenous to this land and that your forefathers or your ancestors go all the way back to land called in Tennessee or Washington or California. They're not going to tell you that. They're going to tell you something about some Nigeria, or they're going to tell you something about this here. And then when you go to the land called Nigeria and you try to fit in, and then you realize you get there, you don't look like nothing, none of the people that's there. You don't look like them. They don't look like you. But you're listening to something or someone who gave you an outright lie and told you that you're from some place that your ancestors may have traveled through, but they didn't live there. Because we traveled and then we came right back home. Got that? So there's no argument in this here. There's no argument in this here. All there is us to awaken to the nature of who we are, the power that's within us, the energy that's within us, so that we can become one with the very source that created us from the very beginning, which is nature. We all come from nature. That's where we all come from, nature. Don't yell at our people and try to talk down on our people because you think one thing, but you haven't done an in-depth search within yourself. You got to go
within yourself to find out who you are. Because once you go within yourself and find out who you are, you're going to be surprised at what you find out. You got to stop reading these books. These books are not taking us anywhere. You got to go within yourself into that infinite library where nature and the ancestors and the ascended masters and the angelic beings would teach you everything you need to know. And thus, you won't have to go into a page because you will know it. Our ancestors didn't write books. Our ancestors went into meditation. We knew this. And then some information, we wrote it on the wall. But we all knew this because we knew how powerful we were. It's important, my people. It's so important that we go into nature and learn who we are. Then we can take the land back because these orc beings, they don't want us to claim who we are. We got the 2020 census that's supposed to be coming up in 2020, if there's a 2020 with this government. How many of us are going to be indigenous to this land? How many of us are going to be indigenous Atlanteans? How many of us are going to be, some people may say, indigenous Aboriginal American? How many of us are going to say that? How many of us are going to lay claim to this land right here? Which is going to put a definite fear in the hearts and minds of these orc beings, because they will know then that they have no power here, because the original people has spoken and said, this is my land. This is not America. This is Atlantis. This is my land. If they want it on paper, we put it on paper. Some people say, well, I'm not going to participate in it. Hey, you ain't got to participate in it with the whole thing, because they're going to come knocking on your door. So you might as well go ahead and do the paperwork and put on there, indigenous Atlantean. Let these orc beings know, I'm not playing your game no more. I'm not black. I'm not African American. I'm not Negro. I belong to this land and my ancestors here. And every day we walking on the bones of our ancestors. We're walking on the bones of our ancestors. Those who died naturally, and those who died from the horror that these orc beings put upon our land. It's important that we lay claim to our land. Get out of these books and go within yourself. Because when you go within yourself, you're going to find truth that's going to make you ashamed that you even try to disclaim something that's so precious to you that belongs to you. All right, my people. That's about all I got right now. I'm going to get some rest. Had a long day at this job. All power to the multi-chakra celestial energy beings. And I truly hope so many of you who are out here claiming African and all this, remember, there's no such thing as African. Our ancestors knew nothing about Africa. They knew nothing about Africa. That's something that's in the last couple hundred years. Our ancestors knew Ethiopia. Our ancestors knew Sumeria. But we here in this land are Atlanteans, and the ancestors know this land. Our true ancestors know this land, which is Atlantis. What we roamed for millions of years, millions upon millions. All right, my people. All power to the celestial energy beings. Peace to you all.
So hello, Debbie Ford.
Hello.
I put
so
my
excited to be here.
Yeah, and I put my fabulous shadow background, especially for this interview.
I know. I'm so inspired. I'm like, I want that shadow background.
Oh, we're going to discuss the shadow because you have actually joined forces with Marianne Williamson and Deepak Chopra to put together this new book, The Shadow Effect. So we want to hear all about you, all about it from you. It's such a delight to have you. So tell us, what is this shadow that you're referring to in this book?
Well, the shadow is all the parts of ourselves that we hide or we deny or suppress. The great Swiss psychologist Carl Jung said the shadow is the person that we'd rather not be. And so it can be our worst nightmare, but it can also be all the parts of ourselves that we've given up, our brilliance, our creativity, our power, our voice, our uniqueness, our successful self even. And so it's something that's innate to human beings. If you're a human, you have a shadow.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're willing to explore it instead of hate it or try to get rid of it or try to transcend it or eat over it or drink over it or spend over it, you can actually reinvent yourself in a way you never thought possible.
So we do all have this dark side?
Oh, yes. We do all have one. It's how we
try to push it away. I mean, we, especially with all the positivity and everything that's so, you know, great out there, we've heard that it's all about that, but you're saying really we have to really look at this other part of ourselves.
Well, and you bring up something really, really important, because most people think, oh, I've got to just pretend it's not there. I need the light, more light. But if we were really shining that light, we would be shining it on the darkness. So it isn't dark anymore. We would be finding why we should love it or how it has supported us or something good about it. If we were really standing in the light, there wouldn't be any darkness because we would know that the shadow is a healthy human part of us that's coming to support us in our evolution.
So what's the way to look at it then? How can we face it? Where do we start from?
Oh, well, I think the first thing is to look where you're struggling.
Uh-huh.
The places in your life where you don't have everything you want or where you've tried to be different than you are, but you keep showing up the same way or you keep having the same issues. Then we know that there's a shadow lurking. There's probably some light shadows there, like you need more of yourself or you need to embrace more of your courage or your strength or your worthiness or your lovability, right?
Mm.
Those are the light, but then also the shadows lurk. And the shadow is there so that we can learn how to love. So if we find that quality that we've denied or we don't like, just think about it like this. Anything that we judge is our shadow.
Wow.
And so we judge it in other people, but it's only because we're really judging that part of ourselves. We would hate that if we knew that that was the truth about ourselves. So if we think of it that way, we can start to say, how could I be kind to this part, maybe my unworthy self or my not good enough self or my stupid self? These parts, I mean, we're human. In the book, Deepak talks a lot about the dualistic nature of being a human. We are the saint and the sinner, the divine and the diabolical, the light and the dark. And that humans, we wouldn't know light if we didn't know darkness. We wouldn't know kindness if we never experienced meanness. We wouldn't know what it was to be selfless if we didn't embrace our selfish self. And so that's what we're doing here. We're bringing the dualistic nature and learning how to really love, because it's easy to love yourself when you feel good and everybody's doing what you want and you have enough money and you look good and, you know, everything's going your way. But how do you love yourself when you've been hurt or you've been betrayed or you failed at something, and that is real love. And that's what the shadow effect teaches us to do.
But those moments, often, Debbie, pops in an instant when we're really, like, there's those triggers, and all of a sudden we would overeat or overspend. It's, like, uncontrollable. We're in this loop of such a, you know, we're out of control. So what is the trick? Is there a little trick? Or is there really deep, long work, hours and hours of torture in our heads to find what's going on?
You know, I think that the torture is accepting that you're dualistic, that you're human and divine. That's the torture. Once we understand it, then the trick is, my favorite shadow trick to find your shadow is to look at what you love most about yourself. Do you want to do it with me?
Sure, yeah.
So tell me the quality that you love most about yourself.
I love connecting with people, just really being comfortable, well, connecting on a deep level with people and allowing them to be fully themselves and express themselves.
Okay, so we would say that's kind of a behavior, something you do. But what kind of person would love to connect with other people and love to have people be authentically who they are? What would be the quality of that person? Would it be somebody heart-centered, somebody loving, somebody generous? What do you think the quality would be?
Generous, yeah.
Yeah, you like generous?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So then you see all the ways that you're generous. You're generous with your time, with spreading knowledge, spreading love, connecting people, right? You see that. You love that.
Yeah.
So now I would say to you, what would be, I know you're like, what would be the negative opposite of generous, of a generous person?
Rigid or not flexible or?
I think rigid would be your word because it's the first word out. So you probably don't like rigid people.
No.
No. Right? That's your shadow.
Okay.
That's your shadow, the rigidity. And did you have a parent that was rigid? Or maybe
I really don't like the unrespectfulness of some people in some regards. Yeah. I don't like that.
You don't like that?
Yeah.
Great. But I would say what could be the gift now? We found the shadow. Right? The shadow is rigid. Because you can't be rigid, you become this very caring, loving, generous human being.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people would say about you.
Mm-hmm.
But the rigidness probably is what birthed the person you are today.
Mm, yeah.
Now the problem, can you see me or did I lose
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I can see you, yep.
Oh, good, because I couldn't see you. And that's what the shadow does, it blinds you. So we would say, what is the gift of being rigid? How could you be kind? Let me ask you this question. Where in your life would it be good for you to be a little more rigid?
In saying no sometimes. Just
exactly. And saying, if you were more rigid, you would be able to say no more.
Yeah.
If you were able to say no more, you'd have more what?
Would have just more time to fully explore, you know, other things that are even more meaningful.
Right? You would be open. You'd have time. You'd allow something else. You'd be generous with yourself, really.
Yeah.
Right? Because you'd allow yourself to have more time and be able to explore more. See, that would be the gift of you embracing your rigid self. We think, oh, I don't like that quality, normally because we saw that quality. Maybe it was a selfish part of a parent or a sister or brother or something that we saw in our culture. And then all of a sudden we say, I'm not going to be that. We wrap ourselves up in the opposite of the shadow. But then what we lose is all of what that part of us is supposed to give to us.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So if you tried this experiment for 21 days and then we got back together, like you really got up in the morning and you said, how can I love my rigid self? What boundaries would I put in place if I was a little more rigid? What would I do for myself? I bet you that something radical would alter in your outer world, because the outer world is a reflection of our inner world, right? Our behaviors are consistent with the shadows that we've hidden away. And so if we know that we're both rigid and flexible, right, we're both, you know, self-absorbed and selfless, and we say, wow, what would be the gift of this quality? I would suggest, and I've done this with hundreds of thousands of people, so I know it's true, that you will birth a new unimaginable future, and it will come from you loving something that you've judged.
So this is what you call by when you say that it's we unlock our lights then.
Yes, you illuminate. We're bringing light to this rigid part of you, right? To a part of ourselves that we've made wrong or judged. Mm. And more than likely, you see it in the other people in the outer world, because when we have a shadow, we energetically draw forth to us the exact thing, because the universe is always trying to show us us. And so since we can't see ourselves, we only can see ourselves in the outer world, then we draw that to us. And so if you allow that part, right, when we embrace, not accept the shadow, because that is really, to me, the second part of the process. The first part is uncovering what is your shadow. The second part is owning up to it, saying, well, I probably am rigid somewhere anyway, you know, because you are rigid about being generous probably, right? You have to say yes. That's a rigidness, you know, just in the opposite way. And so the third part is, how could this serve me, and how could I love and accept and illuminate this? And that's why the subtitle is Illuminating the True Self, because we as humans have made so much of ourselves wrong. Hmm.
Clearly, 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 clearly. And so the shadow and the soul is intimately linked then?
Completely linked. I mean, some of these characteristics, Deepak Chopra would say, we come into to work out some of our karma, to work out these things from our past so that we can grow, that we can evolve, so that we can step into a future that's unimaginable. See, it's interesting, and I write a lot about that in this book, because I've written many on the shadow. Mm-hmm. But in The Shadow Effect, I write about how we continue to become robotic and more robotic as the years go by. Naturally, we become rigid in our beliefs and what we eat and where we go, who we hang out with. And so unless we're going to go into the shadow and reclaim and embrace these parts of ourselves that we've rejected out of shame, out of fear, out of guilt, out of just not believing. You know, one day we're little, we're singing loud, we're happy, and a parent can all of a sudden say, you know what, you're too loud, be quiet, settle down. And all of a sudden we take our fully self-expressed self and we hide it away. And then we wonder the rest of our lives, why can't I live in full self-expression? So when we go into the shadow, we find a treasure chest, amazing parts of ourselves that will give us an unimaginable future.
Mm. Would you say that the planet also has its shadow, and it's about time for us to look at that also?
Oh, yes, and I think the shadow is beating us up right now.
That's how it feels.
The shadow of greed, of course, you know, the French might project it on the United States, on the Americans, you know, and the British will project on the French. And, you know, we go around and around projecting our shadows because we don't take responsibility. And the reason why we still have starvation and people without water and abuse and all the things that are going on and war is because we won't own up to who we are, and we're always projecting. Anything we don't embrace and love in ourselves becomes our shadow. And so, you know, we're all being hit by the global shadows. Maybe it's our irresponsibility. We want other people to be responsible, to run our governments, to take care of us. And so we're not responsible and we're not involved. And then we're angry when our governments or the politicians do something stupid. But really, most of us are sitting back just from the sidelines saying, you do it.
So what is our role here? What can we do about that, knowing this shadow? Is it us personally taking the responsibility?
That's where it starts. Like, I'm going to, if indeed I am a microcosm and a macrocosm, meaning I'm a piece of the whole, and that I'm not in the world, but that the whole world is within me, then my job is to begin by loving that world within me, by loving all that I am, by embracing, you know, that I have an angry self and a mean self and a vindictive self and a selfish self. And I also have a loving self and a peaceful self and a generous self and an abundant self. You know, when we start to take responsibility for our parts of ourselves, we'll start to be different kinds of humans in the world, because we won't be throwing these shadows onto other people. And we'll be training our children not, don't be this, don't be that, don't be mean, don't be angry, don't be. All those don't be's makes one believe I'm not okay. I'm not good enough. There's something wrong with me. Where did we get that? And then we hide those parts in the shadow, and we can't deliver our authentic gifts to the world. We can't be our greatest self, because if indeed, you know, we show some part of ourselves that's imperfect, you know, it would deem us unacceptable and unloved and that we don't belong.
Does that have something to do with the dark night of the soul?
Well, when we go through the dark night of the soul, we usually wrestle with our shadows, and we learn to accept and love and embrace and make peace with parts of ourselves that we've hated. So most of us will go through this dark night of the soul in one way or the other, but it's not there to beat us up. It's not there to hurt us. It's there to help us grow.
Quite scary, though.
It is scary, but, you know, a lot of people are calling The Shadow Effect the book of human knowledge.
Yeah.
Because if you understand, you can, one, I'd say triple time go through it. Most people, it's long and slow and suffering. And the other is understanding where you're going. Humans are suffering because we're resisting where we're going because we don't understand where we're going. And so if we understand the shadow and we are proactive in our lives, then life changes. You know, things open up to us. We don't have to wait to get clobbered over the head by some horrible incident or a betrayal or a death or, you know, losing our job and not having enough money. We can proactively say, what's in my shadow that could serve me today? How could I open my heart and be more compassionate and loving and heartful to these parts of myself? Because it's the incidents that happen to us that move us into the dark night aren't the problem. The problem is what we make it mean about ourselves.
Right.
And in that meaning, we start to beat ourselves up. We take out that internal bat and we just whack ourselves. And then, you know, it's over and over and over. And that beating ourselves up just prolongs the process.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, we are on this earth to learn to love, not just the goodness, but all of who we are. And in that, then we will spread love to all those and have compassion to those that are, you know, doing things that we think we would never dare do.
Tell us, how was it to collaborate with Deepak Chopra and Marianne Williamson? Did you all play a part? Apparently, there's one chapter that you each worked on, because you have very different qualities, I would say, about all of you three. So that makes it quite an interesting book, doesn't it, in collaboration.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing, people will love it. And because we come at the shadow from three different places, and Deepak really does the psychological prescriptive part of it, you know, from his background and, you know, very deep spiritual process. I go through the emotional part, and that's really my work, and how do we do the work, and how do we relate all this shadow stuff to our own lives. And then Marianne really does a beautiful holy spiritual part about bringing in the love and understanding that true, pure love will cast out the darkness. I think what we're thinking of, the problem with this is that people think, oh, the love, I could just say, you know, love the goodness. But to cast out the darkness, we must love and understand that as well.
And love is a superpower, isn't it? It can transform everything.
It can transform everything in every moment. And when we understand being human, human is to learn how to love. And but we can't cut half of ourselves. And so if people today found some quality they've been wrestling with and said, okay, I know there's something good in it, and I'm going to work to find what's good, and how could I open my heart, and how could I understand that my lazy self might be trying to get me to rest and may save me from having a heart attack, and my greedy self might have me put some money away for the future or hard times, and my selfish self may be there to help me set some boundaries. And when we start to understand, my mean self might have put a boundary up for somebody who's violating us, and that they're not bad qualities, that we truly, spirit didn't make any spare parts. You know, they're all important.
And I heard that you were, Oprah Winfrey was majorly helping you also spread this across the globe.
Yes, and if people go to Oprah.com at any time, it will always be on the site. Right now we're doing a live course. So if people read the book and then do the course, they just go to Oprah.com and go to the spirit section, and the shadow effect is all over it.
Really nice.
Yeah, theshadoweffect.com. We have different things in the back of the book. There's an amazing quiz. I think that quiz in and of itself will blow people's minds.
That's on the Shadow Effect website.
Yeah, it's on the book.
On the book. Okay. And do you have a last little thing that we might have forgotten to talk about, or a last message that is important for you to get out right now?
Thank you for asking. You know, I think that just that you and all of us and everybody watching and listening, we have a right to love who we are. We have a right to be our true, authentic self, you know, beyond our secrets, beyond our pain, beyond our past. And shadow work is the work of the heart warrior. It promises and to give you a life that was like mine, unimaginable to me.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you so much for having me.
There are many wolves in sheep's clothing all around us. There is a Japanese folktale, Deep Divers, which goes like this. Each one of us has three faces. The first face is the face we show to the world. The second face is the face we show to our close friends and family. And the third face is the face that nobody sees. And that is the truest reflection of who you really are. Now I say this, we all have three versions of ourselves, including the cat down the road. The first version is who we show to the world. The side of ourselves we show to the world every single day. The second version is how we see ourselves in our minds. And the third version is who we actually are. And sometimes we don't even know who we really are. We don't even know all the sides of ourselves. We don't even know that we have a shadow side. Each one of us has a shadow side. And until you face it, you are never, ever going to activate your true potential. Deep divers, we got a whole lot to talk about. Peace, infinite waters, diving deep once again. Beautiful deep divers, we are out here in the heart of nature, baby. We got the sun shining. We got butterflies all over the place. We got the cat down the road. I'm in a zen state, deep divers, just woo, breathing in that good ass prana, baby. Sending you tons of light and darkness. Huh? Yes, take those shadows. Take those shadows and take those shadows. Shadow Work 101 Explained. Now, are you aware that you might be repressing your shadow side? We all are, to some extent. And the whole of life is actually about no longer suppressing that shadow side. No longer being afraid of the darkness. Were you afraid of the dark as a child? Many people in this matrix are wolves in sheep's clothing. On the outside, it looks fantastic. I'll buy it. But on the inside, there's a monster lurking. Each one of us has an angel and demon within us. Each one of us has dark and light within us. But in this society, you have been told to be ashamed of the darker side of yourself. You have been told to be ashamed and to feel guilty about the undesirable aspects of yourself. So, throughout life, a lot of people suppress their shadow side until one day, it comes out at the most unexpected time. And people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she said that. Oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that. You see, if you don't learn about your shadow side and do shadow work, it's going to come out. And it might come out at a very inconvenient time. And we ain't even had breakfast yet. Can I get a hello? So wonderful, deep divers. Let me share with you what's helped me along my journey. Shadow Work 101. What is shadow work? Simply put, it's when you learn that we all have unconscious personality disorders. We all have a dark side to us. We all have things which society calls unacceptable, not allowed, undesirable. We are all deeply flawed. We all have a hidden dark side to us, not just peace, love, and light, and kumbaya. No, a lot of us, we have a monster inside of us. And it's not a bad thing. In fact, it's natural. Your shadow side is natural. When you turn your back to the sun, a shadow forms. Shadows are natural. If you are a photographer, you know that you need shadows, midtones, and highlights to get the perfect exposure. But in our society, we call dark things bad and light things good. That is why growing up, a lot of people have suppressed their emotions and there is a lot of repression going on with so many people. We only want to be seen as living a perfect life, but that's not reality. The truth of the matter is, a lot of us, we got a whole lot of skeletons in our closet. Now, Ralph, what's your shadow? Because you always seem to be smiling. Deep divers, I'm telling you my shadows. I'm expressing my shadow side every single day. I'm talking about COVID-19. We ain't having it. I'm talking about, hey, I think that nobody should be wearing a face mask 24/7 because it causes hypoxia. People can't breathe. I feel that the whole world is a stage. I feel that we got to stand up for what we believe in. I feel that this whole thing is planned. This whole plandemic is total nonsense. Oh my gosh, Ralph, I can't believe you said it. Yeah, I said it. And what? That's my shadow side coming out, deep divers. I've made videos that most people would be afraid to talk about in their whole existence. Because for a long time, I had thoughts in my mind, deep divers, like, actually, I feel a certain way about this, but I was afraid to talk about it, so I would repress my feelings and emotions and suppress them as well. Then one day I said, hey, I can no longer hold this in. Then I just said, this whole thing is a joke. This whole matrix is so fake. And I started to allow my shadow side to come out. And it freed me. It liberated me. You see, once you learn to own your shadow side 100%, it will actually be the gateway to your freedom, the gateway to your self-healing. When you realize that actually there are so many different sides to yourself that you have to learn about. A lot of us in this matrix, we wear a happy mask. Or we just wear a mask. It's not who we really are. You at your job, just over broke. Sometimes you have to be a certain way. Otherwise, you're going to get fired, right? Right. So a lot of us, we realize that certain behaviors are rewarded in society and certain behaviors are shunned upon. Now, a lot of us, we have a tendency to always be liked by other people. That's why the like button is huge, right, in social media and in society. A lot of people don't like to be an outcast. A lot of people do not like to be unpopular. A lot of people don't like to be a fringe dweller. Well, in actuality, that is your shadow side. It is the undesirable aspects of yourself. It is the flawed you. It is the you nobody knows about. It is the darker side of you, not just the peace, love, and light. It's also the anger, the frustration, the madness. You want to pull out your hair. Ah! It's the screaming side of you. Now, how do we access that? We have to learn how to lose this persona, which is this social mask. And talking of face masks, we ain't having it. We got to learn to speak our heart and mind. We got to learn how to speak our heart and mind every single day without sugarcoating it. We got to learn how to embrace a bit of truth instead of a sweet lie. What? Slow motion this side. We got to get real with ourselves and stop putting on a front. A lot of us, we hide our shadows and we replace them with lights, flashing lights. Hey, look at me. My life is perfect. On social media or in real life, it's perfect. No, it's not. When we can learn how to be honest, our shadow springs forth. When we can learn how to be vulnerable, our shadow springs forth. I've been making a lot of videos exposing this whole pandemic, and a lot of people have been watching them. A lot of those videos have gone viral, but I'm like, wait a minute. Why aren't other people making videos as well about how they feel? You see, they are, that could be you, repressing their shadow side. They feel what I'm saying, but they're afraid to say it because they don't want their shadow to come out. Because everybody knows them to be this goody-goody two-shoes. Me, I don't care what you think. I am that I am. Shadow work 101. You have to realize this. life is not just about kumbaya, meditation under a tree. Life is not just about nirvana. Life is not just about seeing the positive in everything. It's also seeing the negative in everything. You see, if you look at a battery, you got negative and positive. But it's the one force. So what happens if you disregard the negative? What happens if you disregard the shadows? There is no power. Your true power comes from owning your shadow side to make sure you realize that your shadow side is not negative. In fact, it can become your best friend because it can help you work on areas of yourself you didn't know you had to work on. Like, shadow work begins when you become conscious of your shadow. Now, I'll expose myself right now. You see, that's how B-Rabbit won the battle in 8 Mile. He exposed himself so nobody can use his past against him. He exposed himself. That's what I do every single day. I say, actually, my life's been rough. Actually, I'm not perfect. Actually, I was hospitalized. Actually, sometimes I can be pretty rude to people, deep divers. Because people always say, Ralph, you're so compassionate. But sometimes I can be a total asshole. But I own it. That's the shadow side. Awareness. To say, actually, sometimes I've got a monster lurking inside of me. And that's okay. Sometimes I can be really annoying. And that's okay. Sometimes I can get really angry. And that's okay. Sometimes I can get really frustrated about what's happening. I can get really frustrated about what's happening on this planet. I feel like lockdowns are totally out of order. I feel like mandatory face masks are totally out of order. I feel it's like a form of child abuse, right? When you start to say how you really feel, that's embracing your shadow side. When you stop worrying about what other people think of you, that's embracing your shadow side. So I had to learn that actually, I wasn't just this saint. I was also the sinner at the same time. What? Slow motion this side. When we talk of shadow work 101 explained, you have to realize a lot of us, we have unresolved issues. We have childhood trauma. Unresolved issues, childhood trauma. A childhood trauma I had when I was actually doing the work, the shadow work, was actually because I was always traveling as a child. I was born in London, but I've lived in West Africa, Sierra Leone. I've lived in Sudan. I've lived in Ethiopia. I've been all around the world. And because I was always moving around, I never had a home. And that was an unresolved issue I had. I could never actually be in one place. And it was sometimes hard for me to connect with other people because I'm like, hey, I've got to move soon, right? So it's when you realize all of these unresolved issues that you have within yourself and you learn how to make peace with them, this is how to uncover your shadow side. When you recognize the unresolved issues within yourself, a lot of people have issues of attachment because maybe they were abandoned as children and they feel everyone is going to abandon them, so they really hold on, right? So we have to learn who we are today is a result of who we were yesterday, the traumas we endured. And this is what shadow work is. It's when you actually go back to your childhood and say, okay, that really screwed me up back then, and it's still screwing me up right now, but now I can do something about it. You see, this is how you learn how to integrate your shadow. Every single day, I want you to realize, in our society, we think that everything that is dark is negative. The dark night of the soul. That's so negative, Ralph. No, because in our darkest moments, we become illuminated. What? Slow motion this side. Like, be honest, deep divers, how many times have you gone through a really dark experience, a really dark day? But afterwards, you're like, oh my gosh, I learned so much, Ralph. Oh my gosh, it made me a stronger person. Oh my gosh, it taught me the biggest lesson of my life. You see, it takes the darkness for us to become illuminated. It takes the darkness for us to become wise. So we have to form a better relationship to the dark side and realize it's not negative. In fact, it's our biggest friend, our best friend, our biggest helper, because it makes us see things we couldn't see before. If you look at the English language, just poke your nose into a dictionary. Everything white is good, everything black is bad. Black male, black market. So, whitelisting. So you have been conditioned and programmed to believe that darkness is something negative, when in actuality, that is your freedom ticket. Because I told you, everything in this matrix is in reverse. The dark night only. In the dark night can you see the star shining. I want you to always remind yourself of that. Now, when we talk of shadow work and how we go about it, it's about realizing you have to say the stuff that's scary. Because suppression is depression. And that's why a lot of people, oh, they're going to be in for a rude awakening once that shadow is let outside of the bag. Because it's going to come out. It's inevitable. You might have to tell your parents something, but you're afraid. You might have to tell your friends something, but you're afraid to speak up. Now, this creates an even bigger shadow because they don't really know who you are or how you feel. You see, shadow work begins when you really learn how to open your throat chakra and say what you mean and mean what you say. I do that in every one of my videos. I regret nothing. What you're seeing, I'm bearing my soul out here, and I'm speaking my heart and mind. I don't care what anybody thinks. Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's the shadow, and that's why we find the empowerment there. So stop suppressing your emotions. Stop biting your tongue. And if you feel a certain way about this whole pandemic, start speaking up and start staying true, because it's actually when you realize your shadow side can actually lead to a more authentic life, a life of self-healing. Your shadow side, in actuality, is your authenticity. What? Slow motion this side. And you know what, deep divers? What? I had to leave a fake life to embrace this real life, where I could actually express my shadow side. Because in that fake life in the Matrix, I had to suppress it. Now people know who I really am. Do you know how many friends I have out of the blue? Oh my gosh, Ralph, I've seen your videos. I didn't know you were like this. You're so inspiring. You really make me think. Now they know me. I don't know them. Because they're hiding who they really are. I'm exposing it. Shadow work 101. Have a shadow work journal and write in every single day. Have a shadow work journal and write in it every single day. I want you to write. I want you to check yourself. Like, because we often feel that we are all angels and saints, when in actuality, we're no different sometimes than other people down the road. Right? Write about all of your flaws. Write about all of these undesirable aspects of yourself every single day that you notice. You see, once again, once you realize that shadow work begins when you are more mindful of your everyday actions, without, keyword, without judgment, it's more about acceptance. It's more about being an observer of your daily attitudes and actions. And the more you observe who you really are, the more you will stumble across who you really are. The more you will begin to know thyself. Know thyself. And you have to learn never to judge how you feel, never to judge how you act. Just observe it. Never to judge how you feel about someone else. It could be really negative. Don't judge it. Just observe it. And then you'll start to find out, okay, maybe there's some work I need to work on. Like, why am I envious of someone else? That's your shadow side. Maybe because I'm coming to the realization that I don't have what they have. Okay, now we're getting somewhere, right? So that's what shadow work is. Learn to question, questioning. Learn to question why you feel the way you do. Learn to question your actions. Learn to question your beliefs. Learn to question your motives. I want you to remind yourself every single day, it's not about running from the darkness. It's about integrating the darkness into yourself. To say, actually, I am the light and I am the darkness. I am the good and I am the bad. I am the positive and I am the negative. Now we become more authentic, more real. And that's what shadow work is. It's total integration. Total integration without judgment, guilt, or shame. And to do that, you have to be willing to expose yourself. You have to be willing to ruin your reputation. You have to be willing to throw yourself into the lion's den and then become the lion. And roar, 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 deep divers. And then just say, feels so good to be alive, baby. Can I get a hello? 7-day vegan challenge. Shout out to everybody who is not only eating leafy greens and fruits and vegetables, but also taking a day off just to stuff their face with vegan junk food. That's your shadow side, and that's okay. Deep divers, I'm just, woo, breathing in that good ass prana, baby. I love all of you deep divers. Shout out to everybody who's been getting the wonderful Good Ass Prana shirts at ralphsmart.com/clothes and spreadshirt.com. And if you are a sexy ass model, woo, with a whole lot of heart, who wants to model the clothing, show me what you got. Deep divers, and go and buy some. Got a question for me? Add me on the verified Instagram page at @officialralphsmart. At Infinite Waters, and Facebook at Ralph Smart at Infinite Waters. Check out the best-selling book, Deep Divers, for more powerful information like this. Feel Alive by Ralph Smart on Amazon and at ralphsmart.com/the book. It's okay to smile. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to show the world the real you. Oh my gosh, yeah. Kind of shocked me too, but that's okay. Have a beautiful day, deep divers. Peace. Infinite waters, diving deep once again. Stay well, stay healthy. Peace. You! There's who we show the world. There's how we see ourselves. And there's who we really are. When it comes to shadow work, we must begin to realize that we are sometimes not even who we think we are. And we have to allow ourselves to reveal our truth, our true selves, to ourselves. And that may not be pretty. Could be very ugly, but at least it's the truth. Have a beautiful day, deep divers. Peace.
Years ago, I woke up on a cold marble floor, and I had passed out after a night, I should say another night, of drugs. But something had shifted, and I knew that if I didn't make a dramatic change in my life, that I was going to die. And I called my mother, and I said, I need to go back into treatment. And I had already been in treatment 3 or 4 times. All these other times, I left. On day 10, I started to feel great. I'm drug free. I'm not like any of these people. I'm out of here. And I would pack up my little bag, put my little arrogant suit on, and march myself out of treatment. And I was free. I was going to make it to the other side. By day 6 or 7, I'd be on the phone looking for my drugs and end up right back in rehab. So instead of running away this time, I went into the bathroom and I got down on my hands and knees and I started begging, please, relieve me of this pain. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I cannot change my desire to leave. And in that moment, on that floor, something happened to me. Something that was like magic. It was mind-blowing to me. Because all of a sudden, after a few minutes, I knew I could stay one more day. How could I go from terrified and my mind going a million miles a minute to this place of complete peace? I walked out of there on day 28 knowing that there was something that I had to find out about.
The shadow is dark, it's secretive, it can be dangerous.
Shadow is everything that we don't want other people to see.
Things we hide, things that we lie about, not only to others but to ourselves.
And they are the sort of monsters that come out of the caves in the middle of the night.
It is that dark, intrinsic side of us that each and every one of us tries to hide.
Because we've been told from such an early age that these are not acceptable components of who we are.
To have one aspect of the soul, you have to experience the other aspect of the soul to counterbalance it.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I come to talk to you again. Yeah, they were talking about the shadow.
The only time you don't have a shadow is if you're standing in the darkness.
The shadow shows up in so many ways. Writing bad checks, drinking too much, cheating on our tax returns, dipping into our expense account or the family trust, eating chocolate cake in the middle of the night after 3 days of dieting and depriving ourselves, screaming at our kids or verbally abusing our partners after being the nice guy at work all day, surfing the internet and visiting porn sites while our wife makes us dinner, cheating on our husband while he is hard at work trying to provide all the extra pleasures in life for our family, stealing our coworkers' ideas and claiming them as our own. The shadow is made up of the thoughts, emotions, and impulses that we find too painful, embarrassing, or distasteful to accept. So instead of dealing with them, we repress them. Right now, hundreds of millions of people are living in denial of their individual shadow. And all of us are being affected by the collective shadow in more ways than we can imagine.
The collective shadow manifests as evil, as war, as terrorism, as social injustice, as radical inequities in our economic status. You know, right now we have 50% of the world living on less than $2 a day, 20% of the world living on less than $1 a day. We are totally in denial of the fact that this is also a manifestation of our collective shadow. Why? Because people in social institutions, financial institutions, political institutions, corporate institutions are in total denial of the shadow energy. They don't even understand it. Or even what we call evil in the world is the manifestation of our collective shadow, turned pathological, repressed, in rage, in denial. People who express self-righteous morality are usually the ones who have the darkest, deepest shadows, the shadow of the Catholic Church, which pronounces on homosexuality as evil and calls gays sinners while hiding pedophiles in its own clergy. These are all expressions of the shadow.
The entire trajectory of human history at this point is like the Titanic. It is headed for an iceberg. It is going in a direction that is unsustainable, and it is going in a direction that is unsurvivable, if not for us, then at least for our children or our grandchildren. And from an archetypal perspective, each and every one of us is the captain. And the temptation is, it's too painful. The temptation is to just distract ourselves. The temptation is to pretend it's not happening. Or the temptation is to go into cynicism. Or the temptation is to just go into anger and indulge that and not do anything. And each and every one of us are challenged at this point. Don't be the captain who just goes downstairs and goes to sleep.
Everything that expands has got to contract. What goes up has got to come down. People are going to be confronted with their shadow all of a sudden. They've been living high, living wonderful. Everything's been exorbitantly exuding, and now suddenly there's going to be a contractive phase. And if you haven't met yourself, if you haven't done your self-work, if you haven't been on the inside and done some exploration and cleaned up, you know, cleaned your house and detoxed it, you're going to be in trouble.
The birth of our shadow occurs when we are very young, before our logical thinking mind is developed enough to filter the messages we receive from parents, caregivers, and the world at large. Even if we had the best of parents, we inevitably got shamed for displaying certain qualities and received the message that something about us was not okay, that something was wrong with us, or that we were bad.
You greedy little toot, how are you going to eat all those before dinner?
These messages get ingrained in our subconscious like a computer virus, altering our perception of ourselves and wounding our healthy sense of ego. When we suppress any of these qualities, we are living in denial of all of who we are.
And of course, it's different based upon our environment. If you're raised in a family of blue-collar workers, and you declare that you want to play the piano or you want to become an artist, that artistic quality will be negatively received and you may end up having to suppress that. On the other hand, if you're raised in a family of artists and intellectuals and you declare that you want to start working on construction or you want to be really athletic, that may also be perceived of as negative.
We try with all our might to pretend that we are not that which we hate. In fact, proving this is an all-important task for the wounded ego, a task which the ego believes is vital to its existence. The wounded ego must hide all that we believe is unacceptable about ourselves. To accomplish this task, it constructs a mask to prove to others that we are not as defective, inferior, worthless, and bad as we might fear we are. None of us likes to admit that we have these flaws and insecurities. So to hide them, we create a persona at a very young age. We start to wrap ourselves up in a new package that we believe will bring us the love, attention, and acceptance that we hunger for. We create personas so that we can belong. Most of us have a public life and a secret life. We work hard to feel good about ourselves, and a moment later, we do something to sabotage those good feelings. A mask that we believe will take us where we want to go. And these masks take many forms. Which one do you wear? Our masks become our prison. Beneath the mask that we show the world, our wounded egos are in pain. The parts of us that were deemed bad and wrong by others, and now by ourselves, are literally screaming to get out, to be set free, and to be accepted and loved as a valuable part of who we are. When we deny ourselves a safe outlet to express our dark side, it builds up and becomes a powerful force that is capable of destroying our lives as well as the lives of others. This is what I call the beach ball effect. So everything that we reject, we have to keep beneath our consciousness. We try to bury it, so to speak. You know how much energy it takes to put a beach ball underwater? You take your selfish self, you take your angry self, you take your too good self, your not good enough self. You take all of it, and it's like you have 40 beach balls you're trying to manage. And then what happens when you're holding that beach ball underwater? When you're young, you got lots of energy. So you can manage a lot of beach balls. But then, when you're not in the midst of possibility, when your defenses are down, when you have your attention on some big prize you're going to win, all of a sudden, boom, somebody does something. What happens to the beach ball? Pops up and hits you in the face.
What's road rage? Is it anything more than that beach ball coming up? We see it in the media all the time. A filmmaker making deep Christian films all of a sudden gets drunk.
Shouts anti-Semitic comments in a drunken rage.
Right? A radio star makes his living like being a great communicator. All of a sudden makes a comment, a racial slur. So all of these beach balls that you are trying to manage, are you successful at it? No. It's all, but not anymore.
When you don't deal with the shadow, that part comes out and it'll creep up. It'll creep up in workplaces. It can creep up in relationships.
The more we try to suppress those societally determined, undesirable qualities, the more they find interesting and often mischievous ways to express themselves.
And it would be like locking somebody in the basement who wants to get out. So they do things down there to get our attention until we recognize them and let them out.
Because those aspects of ourselves that we don't like exit through a kind of detox process. It's got to come out in order to be released.
One of my beach balls happened in front of a room full of people. So I'm out of treatment, 5 years. I've been floating around trying to become the most perfect person. How could I have people want to be my friend? How could I be a little more spiritual? I was on the quest and I thought I was doing a really beautiful job. And I went to another workshop. We had to get up in front of the room and say what we were committed to in the world. And I thought I was just being wonderful and everybody was looking at me like you're all looking at me. And from the back of the room, this woman screams out, "You're a bitch!" And I thought, well, I know that. How does she know? And I was horrified. I was so humiliated. It was the one word that I didn't want to be called. And she said to me, "Tell me something good about being a bitch." And I said, "There's nothing good." She goes, "Well, you're a bitch. There's got to be something good about being a bitch." And all I could think of was all the ways that that part of me had hurt me. And at the time, I was a retailer. And she said, "Do you ever get damaged merchandise delivered to your store?" And I said, "All the time." She said, "Is there ever a time where they don't want to take back the damaged goods?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, do you ever have to get a little forceful or a little bitchy?" And I said, "Oh my God, yes." And I was remodeling a house at the time. She said, "When you're a couple of weeks late and $20,000 over budget, does it help to be a little bitchy? Would it help you?" And all of a sudden, I realized that when I finally said to the contractor, "You need to finish my house," he finished my house, and this light went on inside of me that this part of me that I had shamed, that I had hated so much, actually came bearing gifts. She said, "Either you're going to use it or it's going to use you." And that was a life-changing moment for me.
When we fully understand the human soul, we find that it's a place of ambiguity, of contradiction, of paradox. All experience is a result of contrast, light and shadow, pleasure and pain, up and down, backwards and forwards. In order to have manifestation, you need opposing energies. You need your enemies to be who you are. The human soul is simultaneously divine and diabolical, sacred and profane, sinner and saint. Eastern wisdom traditions, we have a saying, the sinner and saint are merely exchanging notes. So once you understand that, then first thing you realize is to have a shadow is normal. If you had only truth, goodness, harmony on your side in the complete absence of the other, there would be no creative impulse. Let's say you had only the evolutionary creative impulse in the universe, then the universe would rapidly burn itself into the heat death of absolute zero. If on the other hand you had only the impulse of inertia or destruction or entropy, then the universe would rapidly collapse into a big black hole before you could say Deepak Chopra.
We are the microcosm of the macrocosm. This means that every quality that we can see in another exists within us. We possess every human characteristic and emotion, whether active or dormant, whether conscious or unconscious. There is nothing we can see or conceive of that we are not. We are everything, that which we consider good and that which we consider bad. How could we know courage if we have never known fear? How could we know happiness if we never knew sadness? How could we know the light if we didn't know dark? All of life is based on the coexistence of these pairs of opposites. Our shadow is forever hiding from itself. Rather than confront our own darkness, we project these unwanted qualities onto others. When we are projecting our shadow selves, it sounds like this. She's so self-centered. He's so full of himself. These people are idiots. What a loser. Afraid of our own unworthiness and simultaneously afraid of our own greatness, we unconsciously transfer these qualities onto another rather than owning them ourselves. Those we project on own pieces of our unclaimed darkness as well as pieces of our unclaimed light. Until we take back all that we have projected away, what we can't be with won't let us be. One of the most frequently asked questions I get is, how do you know if you're projecting? If it's your stuff or theirs? I think it was best said by revered philosopher and psychologist Ken Wilber. He says that if a person or thing in our environment informs us, if we receive what is happening as information, a point of interest, we probably aren't projecting. On the other hand, if it affects us, we're pointing our fingers, judging, if we're plugged in, chances are that we are a victim of our own projections. Think of someone from your own life who disgusts, annoys, or repulses you, and think of the qualities about them that you most hate. Now imagine this person standing right in front of you, and I want you to put your hand out, point your finger at them, and say, you're an idiot, or you're a know-it-all, or you're selfish. Now stop where you are. Keep your finger pointing at them, and now notice that one finger is pointing at them, and where are the other three fingers pointing? Back at you. This is the phenomenon of projection. Instead of acknowledging the qualities within us that we dislike, we project them onto someone else. We project them onto our mothers, our kids, our friends, or even better, some famous public figure who we have never even met. If I asked each of you what you love about these people, you would each have a different response. The people that you hate also represent some aspect of yourself that you don't own. Notice what you think and feel as you look at each of these people. Whatever we judge or condemn in another is ultimately a disowned or rejected part of ourselves.
I was watching the events of 9/11 on TV with a friend of mine. And after that, we were driving down the street and turned to my friend and I said, you know, from now on, the Arabs are going to be the new blacks. They're going to get the brunt of a lot of projections that blacks have carried in this culture for a long time. Now, a lot of times, blacks react. We react to those projections, and we project back. And that creates a vicious cycle, and the ego consciousness just responds, the way it should, really, because it's designed to respond as a survival mechanism. That's what the ego is all about, to help us survive. But it's mechanical, it's reactive. When an aggressive negative energy is directed at us, the ego immediately wants to defend and react. Of course, when you react to a projection, you become that projection. And I didn't want to become an angry black man. That doesn't mean that I don't get angry. I certainly can and do get angry, but I express it and let it go.
There's an old Sufi story about a philosopher who made an appointment to debate with a Sufi wisdom teacher named Nasruddin. When the philosopher arrived at his appointment, he found Nasruddin away from his home. Infuriated, the philosopher picked up a piece of chalk and wrote "stupid oath" on Nasruddin's gate. When Nasruddin got home and saw this, he rushed right over to the philosopher's house. "I had forgotten that you were to call, and I'm sorry I missed our appointment," he said. "But I remembered it the minute I saw that you had written your name on my gate." The great Swiss psychologist Carl Jung, who coined the word shadow and shadow work, said, "That is the shadow, the person we'd rather not be." Rush Limbaugh hated drug addicts, and then it was revealed that he was one himself. Reverend Ted Haggard railed against homosexuals and was later caught in a drug and male prostitute scandal. A powerful example of projection at play is that of the ex-governor of New York, Eliot Spitzer. As a public official, Spitzer worked tirelessly to rid the streets of prostitution rings. Ultimately, he wound up getting busted for having a relationship with a call girl, which ruined his reputation and his political future. If we look at this through the eyes of the shadow, I would suggest that sometime long ago, probably as a young man, he had the impulse to sleep with a hooker. Since this wasn't politically or socially acceptable, he buried this impulse deep inside, only to be brought down by this very unconscious urge. It's fascinating to see that he tried to destroy the temptation in the outer world because unconsciously he knew that the real danger lurked in his inner world. This is why we want to deal with the shadow. Rather than trying to convince you that you're not all those negative things and encouraging you to think a good thought, shadow work urges you to get in there and to be with what you are resisting, because what you resist will persist. If you don't deal with your shadow, it will deal with you.
The cost of ignoring a destructive pattern is that you're going to self-destruct. You will implode rather than explode.
You know, my training is as a neurologist, so I've spent well over 3 decades studying how the nervous system organizes this information. And it's really quite interesting when you look at the fact that really, even though we think of having one brain, we actually have 3 different brains. We have this very primitive brain, which some people call the reptilian brain. And if you look at a reptile, look at a crocodile, it really just has 2 responses, on or off. So if you ever watched a crocodile try and eat a wildebeest, it seems to be very quiet and suddenly explodes, and then it goes back into its quiet state. So that response is really a very basic survival response. But the mammalian brain, which is sometimes known as the limbic brain, has created a modulating effect on that reptilian brain. So the limbic system has brought into this very primitive on-off response gradations, meaning you can be a little bit on, significantly on, really on. But then on top of that mammalian brain, really just for the last couple 100,000 years, we've evolved this human brain, which is called the neocortex, neo meaning new cortex, new covering of the brain. And that actually allows us, for the first time in evolutionary history, to decide whether or not we want to react at all.
If we look at brain scans, we can actually see in a traumatized brain, this part of the brain kind of shutting down, becoming dark. The part of the brain that is associated with emotions, that part you might be familiar with, the fight or flight or freeze response. The amygdala, which is the fear processing center in this part of the brain, really becomes bright. So what happens is trauma changes brain functioning, and then that triggers changes in stress hormones in the body, which are not a good thing.
It's crucial to be able to recognize and express any kind of pain. Without that, it stays with us. It lodges in the body, and it causes us to react, to live unconsciously.
The unresolved issues that people have in their bodies, their emotions, has an absolute direct correlation with their physical bodies, their health and their well-being, their expression of wellness overall. They think that their health is somehow separate from their emotions. They are intimately connected.
Obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer, they're all the result significantly of chronic, unprocessed, inflammatory molecules that have their correlates in the psychological world of chronic, unprocessed emotions and experiences.
Every single one of those conditions is a byproduct of our stress levels. It affects our health intimately. Most people are aware that what they eat and what they drink affect their toxicity levels. What they don't realize is that what they think and the emotions that they've built up over years are really the most toxic.
The ways that people have dealt with this traditionally and historically are inadequate. My patients are in overwhelm. This is not New Age mumbo-jumbo. This is actually hard science. The science here now is indisputable, that thoughts, that emotions affect the organs of the body.
We have to be mindful with every single thought that we have every single day. How do we want to create our heaven or our hell? How do we treat one another? Because we are the source of everything within us.
There is a poem by Rumi called The Guest House, which in many ways describes the human journey.
This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond.
Repressing our anger may seem like a good solution, but pretty soon we run out of places to hide. Divorce, stress at work, financial trouble or tension within our families provoke the shadow until finally it erupts. The ancient Vedic text known as the Bhagavad Gita states that man should discover his own reality, not thwart himself. For he has himself as his only friend or as his only enemy. But if he rejects his own reality, the self will war against him. It's easy to love yourself when you wake up feeling strong and worthy and you have enough money in the bank and you feel great. But how do you love yourself when you feel broke or when you've been hurt or abused?
And that sets up the conflict, which as we get older, those wonderful forces that we've locked up in our shadow are rattling the cages. And sometimes if we're distracted, they sneak out and we think, and the people around us think, what were we thinking? And the answer is we weren't thinking.
When repressed, the shadow can look like this. We have to resolve the undigested emotions that are buried in our bodies and lodged as stress in our minds. We have to unearth, own, and embrace the very parts of ourselves that have caused us the most pain. And the moment we do, the light of our awareness will begin the process of transforming them. We think we're alone. We think we're different. We feel isolated or abandoned. And then when we come together, we find out that we all go through traumas, that to be human is to be challenged, and that everyone has gone through some trauma. And if we're courageous, we see that there is gold to be mined in every experience.
It's very interesting because I don't remember a single day where my mother was not drunk, you know, and I had to live through this. And I didn't understand it. Very, very confused by it all. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Who are you? Because as she would drink and as she became into that space, I knew I didn't know her. And I just wished she was dead. I said, I wish you were dead. Wish you were dead. I want the pain out of my life, out of my life. Because you don't belong here. Whoever you are, this intoxicated person, and as a child looking at this, because my father wasn't there either, I had to figure this out. All I did was wish she was dead, right? Well, not until 30, 40 years later, after she had passed over, she lived many, many years after that, and after getting involved in this work, I realized that that was indeed one of the most incredible blessings of my life. I learned from that situation about compassion, and I learned about forgiveness. And that's a pretty big one to have to learn about forgiveness. You know, we see these things as horrific experiences, terrible experiences, dark experiences, when in truth, they're really enlightened experiences because they help us to be who we are. They help us to be compassionate. They help us to be forgiving. They help us to look at someone very, very differently.
What doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
At a certain point in life, it's about saying, I have been through what I've been through. I've succeeded in some ways, perhaps, but I've also failed in some ways. I've been strong at times, but I've also been weak at times. I've gotten some things right, and other things I've gotten wrong. And some things have gone well for me, and some things have been damn awful. The issue is, what am I going to do with all of that? You know, two people can go through the exact same situation on an external level, but internally they do two completely different things with it. That's why we read incredible stories about people who went through the Holocaust or people who were victims of genocide and yet they survived, and yet they go on to live extraordinary lives. And then you meet other people who went through a fraction of that in terms of an internal trauma, but they stay stuck in it forever. We begin to ask ourselves, what am I getting from staying stuck there? What am I avoiding from staying stuck there? And what we are avoiding is the greatest challenge of all, and that is to be who we can be in order to serve the world.
I asked a few people to share their own shadow stories. Some of them are complete, others are ongoing. All of them are portraits of a fearless commitment to transformation. Sui is like that beautiful combination of a miracle, that part of her that she deems so worthless and unlovable actually comes bearing the greatest gifts and makes her the shining light that she is today.
The pain that I've been carrying throughout my life was the pain of believing that I was abandoned by my parents because I wasn't pure enough. I'm actually mixed in terms of, you know, half Japanese, half Chinese. I was considered makes an impure enough to be raised in Japan. You know, my parents live in Japan and they left me with my grandparents in Malaysia. I just felt so abandoned and rejected. My father ended up getting a divorce from my mother. He remarried another Japanese woman, but nobody ever told me that when my father came back with his wife that she's not my mother. I felt the immediate rejection, that they didn't want me in their lives and that they would rather have, you know, two dogs than have me with them. Because I have always discarded my Japanese identity in favor of my Malaysian Chinese identity. I felt like the country has betrayed me And I used that pain to really put it into my my work. I heard a project was in trouble in Japan, and I volunteered to go to Japan to fix this problem because I know that I could do it. That one day I stepped into Tokyo, and I just felt that this is where I need to be to really discover and explore the Japanese half of me. In less than 3 years, I created a business from $40 million to over $200 million in a country dominated by men. You know, never heard of a half Japanese, half Chinese woman being a business leader in a big U.S. telecom world. So I couldn't be the leader I am today without going through the emotions and the pain that I went through my whole life.
If we look deeper, we will see that we all have a divine recipe.
All of us have shame about things that have happened to us. We've all gone through difficult times. We address these issues so we can quiet our minds, heal our bodies, and get closer to our heart's desires. Hector had to let go of his macho persona to make peace with the one that he loved the most, which was his father.
My father was your traditional Mexican man in the sense of working hard, wanting to get ahead, wanting to provide for his family. And as a young boy, I was looking for his love. I wanted his attention. The challenge was trying to figure out what was wrong with me, because obviously something's wrong with me if, number one, he's not giving me the attention I want as a little boy, not giving me the love, yelling at me, you know, being verbally abusive. Obviously, I did something wrong, there's something wrong with me. So I carried that story from that point on for a long time. And I realized he probably wasn't going to do it the way I wanted. He probably wasn't going to tell me what I wanted when I was a little boy. Mijo, te quiero, te adoro, I love you, son. I did some personal growth work. I went inside, looked at the shame, the guilt, the pain. I went through that, I healed that. And I was able to have that forgiveness with my dad and let that go. I wasn't gonna tell him I love you for him. I was gonna tell him I love you for me. My dad passed on. And I'm really grateful that I listened to that inner voice that said, you know, go ahead and tell your dad that you love him. Do it for yourself.
Dr. Edie Eger is one of the most beautiful divine women on the planet today. And she survived the worst circumstances, something that most of us can't even ever imagine.
May 22nd, 1944, when I arrived in Auschwitz, there was chaos. My father was separated from us, and my sister and I facing Dr. Mengele. I didn't know who he was until later. And he pointed to my mom to go to the left and my sister and I to the right. I asked the inmate, when will I see my mother? And she pointed at the chimney, and fire was coming out of the chimney. And she said, you better talk about your mother in past tense. She's burning there. My sister and I hugged each other and said, the spirit never dies, the spirit never dies. I remember that so vividly, even today. In Auschwitz, we didn't know when we took a shower whether water is going to come out or gas. And then there were others who ran into the barbed wires. They got electrocuted. And that night, Dr. Mengele came to the barracks and wanted to be entertained. And my friends who knew that I was a very talented gymnast, and so they volunteered me and I ended up dancing for Dr. Mengele. I closed my eyes and the music was Tchaikovsky and I was dancing in Budapest, the Romeo and Juliet. I completely dissociated.
And we had choices. I chose to look at the guards, that they were more in prison than I was.
I remember they took my blood about twice a week, and I asked, why are you taking my blood? And the man said, I'm taking your blood to aid the German soldiers so we can win the war. I said to myself, I was a pacifist, I was a ballerina, I bet with my blood you're never gonna win the war. So I created a part in me that
I was able to still be in charge of and not allowing anything what happened externally to murder my spirit. I remember I said, if I survive today, then tomorrow I'll be free.
I remember when Marita came to the shadow process and everybody was looking for the negative qualities they needed to embrace. Marita couldn't even say hers, and I kept asking, what is so horrible that you can't even say it? And she said, because of my background, mine is that I'm a Nazi.
I was born in Germany in 1955, 10 years after the war. I found out when I was 11 or 12 what my country had done. This is a subject we never talked about. My grandfather wouldn't tell me about his experience. My mother wants nothing to do with this. I'm not the only German that holds this and lives this and hides this. And I found many ways to sabotage myself from ever tasting power or success, because, you know, Hitler was successful to coming to power and the power was horribly abused. I didn't interact with any Germans at all. I stayed away from them, and I did not want to interact with any Jewish person because I didn't want to cause any more pain, and I was ashamed.
Samia was willing to shine light on the darkness and willing to take back her own projections for the good of all humanity.
In 2006, when Israel bombed Lebanon, at the time, I was trying to evacuate members of my family and try to bring them over to the U.S., and there were no news. You needed to figure out how to reach to them. I became so angry again, because here is my family and the bombing. One day, I was watching TV. I saw girls crying, little girls. I saw they were Lebanese girls. And of course, you know, every time I saw, like, Lebanese kids being bombed and everything, I was really, really angry. I was like, you know, yes, 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 like, bomb the bastards kind of thing. And at the end, I realized they were reporting from the Israeli border, on the other side of the border. And they looked exactly the same as the Lebanese girls that were killed on the other side of the border. And I saw the pain. And that day I made a commitment to myself that I will no longer tolerate that kind of cruelty, irrespective of which side of the border it's happening.
Now, I'm not saying that if you and I rise up to become the people that we are capable of being, that we will rid this planet of war in our lifetime. But I believe with all my heart, we will achieve enough this lifetime that humanity will go in that direction.
It's embracing authentically who you are and not being ashamed of it. There's nothing to be ashamed of, because everybody has a shadow. If somebody doesn't, they must be pathological.
When I'm leading the shadow process, it feels like my own journey has come full circle.
I've been very judgmental over the years. I was having some really dark dreams about you last night.
They're all true.
When we embrace our totality, we experience freedom.
My heart feels as big as my body. It's no longer like little anymore. It's like, it's me.
and embrace it with love. Love, because that's what we're here for, to give and receive love.
Can't even believe that's you, Margaret. I figured out who you were. I remember.
If I hadn't faced my darkness, I never would have found my light. Our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? But actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Consider the story of the Golden Buddha. In 1957, a monastery in Thailand was being relocated and a group of monks was put in charge of moving a giant clay Buddha. In the midst of the move, one of the monks noticed a crack in the Buddha. Concerned about damaging the idol, the monks decided to wait a day before continuing with their task. Later on, one of the monks came to check on the giant statue. He shined his flashlight over the entire Buddha. And when he reached the crack, he saw something reflected back at him. His curiosity aroused, the monk got a hammer and a chisel and began chipping away at the clay Buddha. As he knocked off piece after piece of clay, the Buddha got brighter and brighter. After hours of work, the monk looked up in amazement to see standing before him a huge solid gold Buddha. Historians believe the Buddha had been covered with clay by Thai monks several hundred years earlier before an attack by the Burmese army. They covered the Buddha to protect it. In the attack, all the monks were killed. So it wasn't until 1957 that the great treasure was discovered. Like the Buddha, our outer shell protects us from the world. Our real treasure is hidden within. We human beings unconsciously hide our inner gold under a layer of clay. All we need to do to uncover our gold is to have the courage to chip away at our outer shell, piece by piece.
You can't fight darkness with darkness, but you can switch on the light.
All of the work we do on the shadow is to get us to this point where we can forgive. To do forgiveness, we put blindfolds on to make it safe for people to share their deepest secrets.
I forgive myself for not finishing college.
I forgive myself.
For beating up my sister.
I forgive myself.
I forgive myself for hating my body.
For screaming at my kids.
For not laughing enough.
Or for thinking I'm a stupid, incompetent asshole.
For stealing from my first boss.
I forgive myself for being a liar.
For being rich. For being beautiful.
I forgive myself.
For drinking too much.
Not speaking out.
I forgive myself for everything.
I think a lot of people are very afraid of their shadow. They don't even want to consider that they have one.
Brent is one of the holiest men that I know, and he is so spiritually evolved because he uses the pain of his past to be the greatest expression of himself today.
This story really began for me when I was 9 years old, and I was attending a summer camp that was managed by an order of religious men. During that summer, I was molested by one of the religious men. I remember that experience being a beginning of a split for me, from myself. It happened a number of other times during that period of time I was at that camp. I was always afraid that that guy was going to come in the middle of the night. I even went so far as to borrow a knife from someone that I kept under the pillow. I was a 9-year-old kid. I remember I just felt like some part of me died at that time. I went on with my life holding on to that secret, holding on to that shame of not really being connected with myself anymore. The difference between forgiving and condoning. Forgiving is seeing the true heart of another person. It's beyond all the action. In holding anybody to blame, we limit our own love. People need to know that they can get help, that they don't have to carry their shame alone, that they don't have to live in a secret, and that there are people that are holding the light for them, that are willing to see them as they are through the shadow. It's the only way to see yourself is to look at the light and the darkness and to embrace it. I use that analogy of being like a drowning person, where someone's holding your head underwater. And at some point you realize that you have to be the one that fights your way back to the surface. What happened to me as a child has given me a real depth of compassion, which I'm so grateful for. Because it's so clear to me when I work with people how they're suffering, how they're hiding. And it's been the greatest gift of my life that I'm in a position where I can honor people in that way. I'm just so grateful to be able to connect with people on that most vulnerable level, that deepest level of the soul. I regain my faith because I ask for it.
Forgiveness doesn't happen in your head until it happens in your heart.
My mom was walking downtown Beirut with the young Israelis, and she turns to my dad, and her mother had been killed by the Israelis. She goes, "Mustafa, these are young soldiers. Don't they have a mother? And if she can forgive, who are we not to forgive?"
Well, you can't move on if you don't forgive. The train stops if you don't forgive. And mostly, you got to forgive yourself for taking whatever happened to you too deep, to a deep place that it shut you down.
The universe will deal with that person's karma. You don't have to worry that if you, quote-unquote, forgive them, that they're going to somehow live an undeserved, wonderful life.
Each and every one of us needs to work full-time on self-forgiveness.
Our motivation to forgive is increased when we understand why it's so important. It's not just to make their day better, it's to free you.
And forgiveness is the hallway between the past and the future.
The future expression of who we are as a planet, as our country in America, depends on the people that grow up, that become the next presidents, that become the next politicians, economists.
We want to make a difference. We want to somehow get it right, you know, to feel like we did, or at least we tried to do what we came here to do. That is the gold that is being mined today.
But that's because the world is growing. We are entering a new age. That's what's going on. That's why we're talking about this.
You are a force of love. You are made from love.
And love is the most forceful energy you could ever have. Accept that energy. Accept who you are. Accept your inheritance, if you will.
You're the total being of love, and don't waste a minute of it.
I've come full circle, and this is the external of what was going on inside of me.
It's how we are able to perceive everything in life as an opportunity for growth. I got married, I have 3 children and 5 grandchildren and 1 great-grandson, and that's the best revenge to Hitler. When I am here, yes.
So if you want authentic peace of mind, creativity, kindness, compassion, joy, then you've got to understand your shadow and be okay with it. Celebrate.
If shadows could talk, they would tell us that we're as precious as 1,000,000 pounds of gold, that our brightest light can shine only when we've accepted our darkness, that there is wisdom in every wound, that there is a greater future waiting for us, that we are children of God and have a right to be here, that we were all created equal, that our pain is not personal, but belongs to every man and woman alive, that life is a magical journey of making peace with both our humanity and divinity. They would tell us that we deserve better, that we matter, that we are more than we ever dreamed possible, and that there's light at the end of the tunnel, that there is nobody in the world quite like you. What if you knew in every cell of your body that you were living a divine plan, a plan so important, so vital for the evolution of humankind? What if you knew that everything that was happening right now that doesn't fit your ego ideals is happening to support you in stepping out of the smallness of your darkest thought into the brilliance of your biggest dream? If you take this journey, I promise you that you're going to experience more love, more happiness than you've ever had before.
brothers and sisters of Celestial Energy. This is Brother Wisdom. What's going on, guys? I went on the YouTube community posting and posted about Bebe Kids. And myself and a brother at the workplace, you know, had a really, really big discussion. And, you know, I was telling, you know, we were talking about Bebe Kids and how the movie was so significant, but because at the time we were looking so much at the entertainment in it and laughing that we could not see the message that was being put out. Now you see Bebe left her children. You know, this is done by Brother Robin Harris, you know, Mother Nature rest his soul, you know, they did the brother wrong, just like a lot of our people. But, you know, Bebe sent $20, all right, to have the three of them go to this amusement park, all right, with Robin and his girlfriend and her son. Now, you know, everything is numerical value, 20. They gave $20, two, which is a symbol of angelic energy. Three is the symbol of Trinity. But it was four children in all. So four, which represents perfection. And the youngest was the smartest, who was the baby. But in this thing here with Bebe Kids, it was showing us that you had this Robert Harris' girlfriend, I forget the girlfriend name, or the friend girl, whoever she was, her son was representation of our brothers and sisters who were caught up in the system. You know, oh, you got to do this, you got to pay your taxes, you got to do that, you know, you got to do it the way the law says. Oh, if the police get behind you, you got to do this. You know, if they take you to court, you got to do this. You got to pay this. This is what they were. Bebe Kids represented those who were free-hearted, who didn't give a damn about nothing. And they were trying to tell him, you know, because they were picking on him. He was like, you know, you gonna do such, such, such. You gonna do this and do that. You know, they were picking on him because he was so closed-minded. How many brothers and sisters you know out there are actually closed-minded? You know, how many brothers and sisters you know who are actually sitting up waiting for the system instead of being a free heart and a free mind, focusing on how to free myself? Very few that you know, that you can count on your hand. But it's a whole lot more who caught up in the system. So Bebe Kids was the children and who were like, we're going to have a free heart, we're going to have a free mind, and their energy was so great that the orc beings, or the so-called white people in this movie, were scared of them, and they feared their energy. And they finally woke the young brother up, and he finally realized that he didn't have to be a part of the system. He didn't have to link into the system. He finally realized that I can be free. I don't have to go to school. I don't have to wear a suit. I can wear my locks. I can do what I want to do. I can build what I want to build. So in the essence of the movie, the energy got so high and they started doing whatever they wanted to do, and they started fucking that amusement park up, and that amusement park was the representation of this whole governmental structure, because it's just an amusement park. That's all it is. It's not real. It's just an amusement park. It's a game. It's all a fantasy. It's all it is. So they ended up exerting so much energy that even this white police officer began running from them. These were children. They were nothing but children. But the children represented the energy, the power, showing us how much power that we actually have when we have a free mind and a free heart. And they literally brought that amusement park, that colossal, huge amusement park, down to the ground. And this is where we are going. We are going in this route. Okay? We're moving in this route because now we're saying, you know, we got to have a free mind. We got a free heart. Well, people say we tired of this shit. You know, so saw a brother at the gas station. He's like, you know, my day has just started, but I don't want to start it. I could be doing something else. And the thing about it is we could be building. We can be creating. I was watching a video of how to build pyramids from bricks. And I'm like, we can do this. We can start building pyramids from bricks. And we can build huge pyramids from bricks. And we can put crystals and all kind of other things into them. We can really, really do this. Because we got to have a free heart and a free mind. We have been through too much pain and suffering. We have gone through 500 years of genocide. These beings doing whatever they want to do to us on our planet. They telling us what we can do, what we can't do, when we can move, when we can walk, how we can talk. They telling us, and they're on our planet. They're on our land. We have to be baby kids. We got to be free. And say, you know what? I don't care. I don't care nothing about you. I don't care nothing about your system. Let's turn this car upside down. Let's chase this police officer down and beat the fuck out of his ass. Show him how much power he got. They don't have no power. See, what they've caused upon us is a mental contusion. When you say a contusion is a bruise. So they mentally bruised us and caused us to fall from something that was so powerful. And they want us to live under the likes of them. They want us to continuously take the mess from them spraying the skies and creating winter time, and we going running out buying coats and shoes and boots, and you know, they want us to continually be victims to their system. They don't want us to wake up. They don't want us to see the reality that we're supposed to be a free mind and a free heart. That's what made us so powerful. It's because we had a free mind and a free heart. So they had to force upon us something that was not real. I just had a deja vu occurrence. So I was saw myself talking, doing the same speech, but I couldn't remember where I saw it at, but I saw myself. I had to be in the astral room or something. But they want to control our entire livelihood, and we can't let them do it. We can't. We have to become the children. And you see, that's why I like baby kids, because they were just free. They were just free. And like we said, these orc beings, they fear. Their greatest fear of us is a free heart. Their greatest fear is an unlearned heart. And when we talk about unlearned heart, we're talking about those who are not learned in that system. And the baby kids, they were unlearned in the system. They didn't care about the police. They didn't care about nothing. You had this police officer with a gun on his hip and a badge, and he's running from these four children who were literally wreaking havoc in their little la-la land that they created. They tore that thing down. They brought that amusement park to the ground.
And this is where we must be. So we got war. We've got a reason to war. And we're letting them know that, hey, you can't turn us against ourselves anymore. There's many of our people who have worked against their own. We're starting to see that many of them are turning around. Brother Jerome, I got your message too, brother. Hey, my apologies too. All right, my apologies too. We're going to come together one day, two of us and the rest of the brothers and sisters, because we got a lot of work to do. First, we got to prepare our hearts for this inevitable war so that we can go ahead and take back what belongs to us. But yeah, this is what they fear. They fear a free heart. They fear a soul that knows who he or she is. And all these lessons that we have learned, dark energy, worshiping yourself, the light energy, the radiation, the magnetism, the powers that's within us, the ability to control the forces. I mean, all this stuff that we've learned, we must apply it every day. And we must apply it and put it to the test and see that once I link it to myself and there's no more fear, because that's what the baby's kids didn't have. They didn't have fear. There was no fear in their hearts. They didn't care. And this is where we gotta be. I don't care about your system. I don't care about your money. Just like I said, I like the Joker. Why the Joker? He went and broke into the bank and he took all those millions of dollars. He didn't want the millions of dollars for himself. He burned the shit. He burned it because he says, I don't need it. He says, you guys are crazy. You are crazy. And this whole system is crazy. They're idiots. And a lot of our people, you know, like we said before, they're following after the system, and they keep doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for different results. But what did the baby kids do? They didn't do the same thing. They were doing different things. Every time you turn around, they was doing something. They was tearing something up, and it's like, I don't care. It's not mine. And this is how we need to be. This is not my system. Why the fuck should I care? Why the fuck should I care? Why should I care if that building burns down? Oh, let me put it on fire for them. Why should I care? So many of our people are stuck in that mindset that, oh, you know, you gotta care for this right here because, you know, we need the money for this and that. We don't need a goddamn thing for these motherfuckers. We don't need no reparations. I saw something about some reparations or whatever. I'm like, me and the brother was talking. I said, there is no amount of money that these beings can give us to repair, because reparations is repair rations. That's all reparations is repair rations. So you giving us rations of money to repair something. There is no money on the planet that you can give us to repair the damage that you guys did to our people, wiping out entire generations. When we say entire generations, we mean there are generations right now that were on the realm, or that were here on our realm, within our realm, that are no longer here. The entire bloodline has been destroyed. Whole generations gone. Mother, father, sister, brother, grandmother, grandfather, uncle, aunt, cousin. Whole generations are gone. There is no amount of money that you could possibly give, that you orc beings could possibly give, to replace the bloodlines that were completely wiped off the planet.
There's no money. There's no money to give to replace all the trees that you destroyed, all the rivers and the lakes that you destroyed, all the fruit that you destroyed. And the thing about it is, even our ancient fruit, they have our ancient fruit, the seeds of our ancient fruit, boxed away somewhere at some seed distribution or some seed holding place. Well, they have all of our seeds, and I think it was like three different areas, and one of them got one or two of them got flooded out, and I think they have one left. Well, they have all of our seeds, so there's no amount of money that you can possibly pay us to replace all the gold on our land that you've stolen, the diamonds, the precious gems that we use for technology. We didn't use them to hoard them. That was just a meteor strike that happened in Brazil a few days ago, and some pretty large sized meteors, like a few hundred of them, landed. And you guys can look it up and follow it up on yourself. But several hundred of them landed. And this orc government hears about it. And the Brazilians allowed this. And they ran down there and they put a price on the meteors. This is what they do. This is how low they are. They go and put a price on the meteors. You got something that came from the cosmos for the original people. The shit belongs to us. Whatever comes from the cosmos on this planet belongs to us. This is why we got to get ready and be the fucking baby kids and fuck this shit up and take back what belongs to us and not give a damn about nothing. They put a price. They said, oh, this is worth $26,000. So if you got $26,000, you can have this one big stone. I mean, these are nice size meteors that I saw on the thing I was reading. You look it up. The meteor strike that happened in Brazil. And these org bands put a price on it. $26,000 per meteor. Because this is what they do. They know nothing else but to put prices on things. And our people have got this notion that, well, you got a price on it, we can do it. No, we got to be the baby kids. And the baby kids knows who the enemies are. The baby kids know these orc things are the enemies. Some of our people today don't know the enemies. They have that time, oh, you can vote for Trump, you can vote for Biden, you can vote for Harris. Guess what? Trump, Biden, and Harris, they're all pedophiles. Huh? They're all pedophiles. Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Michael Jordan, they're all pedophiles. Oprah, Ellen, all of them, they're all pedophiles. So the thing about it is, we have an enemy among us, and we have to be the baby kids. And we just have to not give a fucking damn and have a free heart and a free mind and just fuck they shit up. And fuck them up also. Because they got an answer. Their entire species has got an answer for what their forefathers did. And their forefathers did a great disservice to us. A great, great disservice. And we've got to bring the vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Who's the Lord? We are the lords. We are the landlords. We own this planet. We so-called black people are the owners of this planet. And very soon, we're going to have to show our true ownership, because we're going to have to become the baby kids. And we're going to destroy everything that they created and bring this whole goddamn amusement park that they created to the fucking ground. Don't give a damn about the teddy bears and the little whatever else, you know, that and the teddy bears and all that represents the money and the cars and the job positions and all that. Don't give a fuck about none of this shit. Just tear the motherfucking shit to pieces. That's what we got to do. We got to become the baby kids. and say, you know what? It's over. It's over. And anybody who wants to depart and say, I don't want to do that, you hold your hands up, you say, you trying to, it ain't time to go yet. What, you trying to leave us? Uh-uh. You joining in with us because you're a part of this. Yeah. We got to become the baby kids and not give a fuck at all. All right, guys. Just a little motivation because we're going to have, we're getting ready for war. You can, and these orb beings can feel this shit in the air. They can feel it in the air. You feel it in the atmosphere. It's all over. The tension is high because we're ready to get rid of them. No more negotiations, no mercy, no nothing. And we're going in, and we're going in head first. And like one, the brother was saying, he said, you know what, how are we going to get the heads of them? I said, how do you think you get the heads? When you start cutting the tails off, that head going to turn around. You cut the tail of the snake off, that head going to turn around. That's when you get the head, because now he's weak. He don't have anyone to fight for them. Their tail is their regular people, the police, the FBI, all that shit. Fuck them motherfuckers up. Show the true power of who we are. We're nature's children. And all those who are confined in the system, we wake their ass up to and let them know. Slap the fuck out of them. Let them know, hey, wake your ass up, motherfucker. Wake up. Wake up. You've been asleep too long. Let's go to war. Because we've been through too much. All right, guys. Pass this message on to you. Let's become the baby kids. Let's not give a fuck. That's on 100. All right. Peace to you all. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say peace to you all? Oh, I must be tired. Well, you know what? Inner peace for you guys. You got to have inner peace, because in order to have chaos, you must have inner peace. You got to have inner peace in order to show chaos. Tornado has inner peace. The most peaceful part of the tornado is inside of it. On the outside of it is complete, pure chaos. So you got to have inner peace. So I'll say inner peace to you all. But as usual, chaos. Chaos. We bring chaos to this entire planet. Global chaos. All power to the multi-chakra celestial angelic beings. Chaos to you all.